For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Falcoholics. What is up? Welcome back to the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, at Falcoholic Kevin, joined by my friend and compatriot here on the Believe Podcast Network. He is Will McFadden, at Will McFadden on the Twitters, X's, whatever. He is the host of the Believe in Falcons podcast, as well as a fellow contributor over at thefalcoholic.com. Will, welcome back. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Kevin. Thank you for having me back on. It's always a pleasure to hop on and talk a little Falcons football with you. So I'm excited for today's conversation.
Yes. Well, you know, full disclosure, we're recording this before the schedule release, you know, so that's going to be a big topic, I'm sure, later in the week. But a little bit more, you know, fun stuff before we get to the absolute dead period. So we got to take advantage of these breadcrumbs while they last, and then we have to just subsist on them until July. But yeah, Will and I are going to get into something that a lot of people have been clamoring for, which is a positive take on the offseason. Will has been, I think, fairly positive. We had a good discussion a while back after the draft happened, where I thought Will took a very reasonable, positive look. And I, of course, argued the negative look because I'm apparently a giant hater this offseason. But I liked Will's take on it, too. So we're going to sort of explore the positive side of this offseason and the Michael Penix move, among others, on today's show. Before we dive into that real quick, I want to bring you guys a word from our sponsor, BetOnline.ag. Folks, BetOnline remains your number one source for all your summer sports this season, including MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. Like I said on Monday, if you put money on the Hawks getting that number one overall pick in the NBA draft, you'd be a rich man today. But, you know, but yeah, I think you can bet on the NBA draft lottery. I know it's absolutely terrible bets because they always give you like worse odds than the implied odds of the various percentages. But, you know, you would have made money on the Hawks if you were that crazy, but it's probably a good idea not to bet on a 2% chance to happen thing. You know, it's probably not smart money. But no matter what you want to bet on, guys, you can get all the latest stats, news, and scores as you follow your favorite teams on the path to the playoffs and the championships. You can get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to that website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. Well, we were all shocked, obviously, when the Michael Penix pick happened, but I think you were like really early to sort of embrace the positive side of it. I know like people have definitely come around on it, which is to be expected no matter what the pick is. But I think you immediately kind of saw the future focused idea behind this. And just, you know, what was your immediate thoughts? Because I know right afterwards you were not as down and dire as I was, but you know, on the Penix pick itself, it seemed like you had a more positive takeaway.
Well, you know, I was as surprised as anybody when the pick actually happened, but I've always kind of taken the stance of, look, like it's ultimately out of all of our control. The team is the one that has to make the decision. And I've always tried to approach my coverage as more understanding and explaining why the team does what they do, because, you know, unlike I think a lot of people, certainly most people on social media, and maybe a few people on the Falcons Reddit, I don't just assume that I'm smarter than the people in the building, right? And that's because I was in the building with those people and I was wrong all the time compared to them. So I more look at it as like, okay, so what led you to this decision? What was your line of thinking? And in gaming that out, just moments after the draft, like my natural inclination was, oh my God, I wanted Liatu Latu. What are you guys doing? This is a weird wasted first round pick. But then when you kind of take a second and you think about where they were 3 years ago and kind of the valley of performance that they were in, I really feel like, especially last year, we just saw almost the limitations of what building a decent, well-rounded roster can get you when you are deficient at the game's most important position. And because they had laid so much groundwork and they've got guys like David Onyemata and Jesse Bates, and you know, you have younger, unproven players who have kind of now made a name for themselves in a Nate Landman and a D. Alford, that has maybe allowed you to attack the biggest need in free agency, which certainly was quarterback, but then also feel maybe better about the roster to the point where you can correct a mistake or a failing of the organization from a couple of years ago. And that was the inability to find a replacement and a kind of true succession plan for Matt Ryan. And that's kind of where I settled in the immediate aftermath of this was, okay, they learned the lesson of the Matt Ryan kind of ending and they didn't have that plan in place. They ended up going with Marcus Mariota. Then they ended up going with Desmond Ridder. And those were approaches that I think a lot of people were calling for this offseason in the aftermath of the Michael Penix selection and saying, well, if you knew that you were always going to take Michael Penix, which I take kind of umbrage with that because I don't think these things happened at the exact same time. I think the thinking evolved. And when you made the decision to go get Kirk Cousins at that point in time, that was the right decision for the organization. And then when the coaching staff, which had only been in place for like a month when free agency started, they start getting involved in the roster evaluation and in the draft evaluation process, then I think they circled Michael Penix as a player who was not only a quarterback that intrigued them, but really a quarterback they believed in. So that was definitely part of it to me. But when you kind of look at, if anything, the investment in this first round pick was more the price that they're paying for not getting it right the first time around. And when people are saying that they should have now gone out and gotten Jacoby Brissett or Gardner Minshew, or, you know, if Baker Mayfield had actually been available, I kind of think that he just was always in with the Bucks, right? Mm-hmm. And that's going to be really hard to get him away if he just wanted to run it back. But that could have come with a lot of risk, and that could have come with the potential to be right there again at 7-10 if the quarterback play is not where you think it's going to be. And so they took the best possible approach in free agency, and then they feel like this is the best possible approach for the long-term success and health of the organization. And I'm sure we'll get into it, but there's also some immediate short-term ramifications for the Michael Penix pick as well. So that was kind of my initial response to it, is just, I kind of understand why they would make this decision. Again, it's not the decision I would have made, but they made it. And I think my favorite comment that I saw when we were doing the live reaction show was, you know, somebody said that I think optimism was like my superpower, in the same way that like invincible is just invincible. Like, it's just always going to be the natural response that I have. And that's somewhat true. But again, I think the optimism just stems, I don't even know if it's optimism. I think it's just like, okay, well, here's probably what the thinking was. And in the face of so much criticism and just like astonishment and bewilderment, I think that just tends to be a little bit of a rosier view than what everybody else is feeling. But that's kind of how I wrap my mind around it.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. And I think that's where a lot of fans have landed now that they've had some time. because in the moment, you know, there's always going to be strong reactions, especially for something as surprising as the Penix pick, which I mean, has been listed as one of the most surprising draft picks in recent memory, certainly in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. Just really catching everyone off guard. I mean, I think even the insiders who reported that Penix interest didn't really take it that seriously. I mean, it was just like, Okay, I guess they like Penix, whatever. But so that sort of strong reaction from everyone is to be expected. And also the coming around on a pick is to be expected from everyone. But it wasn't really a coming around for you. I think, I mean, that's the thing, is you kind of started out with this sort of level-headed approach to it, which is appreciated in a room full of, you know, relatively hotheads and then a hater like Adnan being there too, you know, so you gotta, like balance out the hater, obviously. But I think part of it for me is grappling with sort of the idea that things did evolve, that things did change. I know some fans have arrived on the point of they didn't have a plan. Like, this shows that they had no plan. And I think that's just incorrect. And I also think that maybe even if they didn't have a plan and they just screwed up, you know,
there's
and they
a
just
chance
panicked.
They didn't have a plan,
right.
Kevin. There is,
right.
There
is a
chance that they were right. Like, oh, we're here at number 8. Nobody wants to trade. Yep. Michael Penix is the best guy on our board. Let's just take him. You know,
yeah.
Like, there's a
you
chance.
Can't rule it out. Yeah. You could never rule that stuff out. But the problem with that is that there's, for us in particular, is that there's no analysis involved with, well, they just screwed up. You know, they just, like, there's no, there, what are we talking? Yeah. Like, what, how do I quantify that? How do I discuss that? There's no analysis. There's no anything. It's like, well, they're just bad. You know, they just are bad at their jobs. Like, okay, well, that's boring.
Not interesting.
Yeah. That's not interesting. That doesn't get us anywhere. It doesn't help us understand. And it's just, you know, it's kind of a defeatist, nihilistic approach. And maybe it's correct. Ultimately, we'll see how that pans out. But I think ultimately, you know, searching for reason behind it is kind of how you grow and sort of understand. And I think for me, going in after the Penix pick, or not before the Penix pick, up until the Penix pick, I think the thought was, this team is in absolute win now mode. And they're going to use this draft to get the last couple pieces they need. And then they're going to use their remaining cap space that they haven't really touched yet to go out and finish the holes on the roster. And we're going to be going all in essentially this year and next year while Cousins is on an affordable, relatively speaking, deal. And it seems pretty clear that the draft was the clear pivot point. But even before that, we had just assumed this was a win now window because of the Penix, because of the Cousins signing. But they really hadn't pushed the chips in. Even the Cousins signing wasn't really a we're pushing the chips in move. It just signaled that that was a possibility because they signed Mooney and they signed a couple other guys, but they didn't restructure anyone. They didn't cut anyone for savings. They haven't done any extensions. They haven't extended Terrell yet. They haven't really done anything to maximize their cap space this year. And when you combine that with the draft, which Penix is probably the most future focused pick you could possibly make at number 8, guy like Ruka Roro, who is going to play as a rookie in run defense, but he needs to learn how to pass rush better. So mm-hmm. He's also a future focused pick. You know, Braylon Trice, probably the most win now of all the picks. I think he's pretty much ready to go. I mean, he's limited in what he can do in terms of a pass rusher, but he's good at what he does and he can play. Yeah. He can stop the run. So he's ready to go. But like Dorlus is also a guy that you have to develop a little bit, you know, and probably have to bulk up if he's going to be full-time interior. And then, you know, you get to these other picks, but the draft, I think, signaled a clear shift, which is like, this is no longer we're going all in. This is like, we're now focusing on a winning window that kind of starts now, but really we're going to be trying to hit our stride when Penix is going to be presumably playing in 2026. And I think coming to terms and like realizing that that is where the team is going and not going all in on this year, which some people still disagree with, and they think that they are going all in, which I don't know how this is all in any sense of the word. Obviously, they're trying to win. Like, they're always trying to win football games, but there's a difference between maximizing your roster and putting together a roster without affecting your future in a significant way. Like, there's always levels to this. How much are you going in now versus how much are you trying to keep flexibility later? So I'm not suggesting that they're not trying to win. That's ridiculous, but they're not maximizing like they could have done. And I think to me, that's where I sort of got on board with the move. It's like, okay, if we can accept that this is not an all-in situation and they are building for 2026, then the picks and the draft and the way they've approached the offseason, I think, makes a lot more sense on the whole.
Well, I actually want to push back, and this is awesome because I think we can probably have a really good discussion off of this, but mm-hmm. I'm going to push back on two points. The first mm-hmm. is I do think that the Michael Penix pick could be seriously viewed at or viewed as a win now selection because, all right, so let's say you just invested in Kirk Cousins as like your Boeing plane, right? You're spending all this money to go get a nice private jet, what have you. Boeing planes crash sometimes. And let's say it's
you got to be careful about talking about Boeing.
As somebody who's flying on one, you know, next week, I'm a little nervous. But let's say it's week 8, you're 5-3, things are going great. And let's not say it's anything as serious as like an Achilles tear. Let's say it's turf toe that keeps him out for like 3 or 4 weeks. You've got kind of the team playing well, the momentum moving in the right direction. I don't know if you want to go back to Taylor Heinicke. And I think that having Michael Penix in here, and a lot of people have pointed to his age as a negative for, you know, what you have said, a potential future type of move. I look at it as, okay, he has played a lot of football. His game should be able to translate pretty well to the NFL. Yes, there are some things that you would like to have the time to clean up. His ability under pressure, kind of the throwing over the middle of the field. Those are two aspects that he is going to need to improve in order to have kind of the top level success, I think, in the league. However, the arm talent to make every kind of throw on the field, that you can't really coach up, and he does have that, and that is going to allow the offensive playbook to stay as wide open as possible in the event of Kirk Cousins going down. And that is where, to me, to bring the Boeing thing right back, I don't know why I picked that as my analogy, but that is your parachute. That is your life preserver if you crash in the ocean, right? And so I kind of think that the league in general has moved towards really valuing the backup quarterback position. Some teams go about it like the Falcons did last offseason, investing big money in kind of that number two spot. But it didn't work out with Taylor Heinicke. That's not to say he's a bad quarterback, but it just isn't the type of player, or he is not the player that I would really want to see. And I know he's probably going to go in as the de facto number two quarterback in the season. But I think if anything were to happen to Kirk, you would see Michael Penix actually be the one to take snaps that next Sunday. So that's kind of my first thought, in that both things can be true. It can be a selection for the future of your starting quarterback position. However, in the short term, he is now one of the premier backup quarterbacks in the league for a team that I do think has aspirations in 2024 and in 2025 to make deep playoff pushes. And kind of the second point to that is the rest of the draft I really like, but you're right. You know, Rukurororo, he is, I think, a very good run defender from the jump, and that is maybe an element the Falcons needed to address and add to, because you look at David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett, they're both great players and very well-rounded players, but he at least should have a role maybe on some of those early downs and get into the mix with them when you need to spell them. But you look at Brandon Dorlus, I think he's got some, again, a role kind of right out of the jump, because he is big and long and versatile, but the growth and upside should be an element to his game as well. I look at Kirk Cousins coming in here, and they may feel that offensively you're going to see big upticks in the production of your previous three first round picks. And that is going to be maybe huge, and maybe can offset the lack of moves really offensively in the draft from there on out. I know they got Casey Washington, who I kind of like the more that I watch, and Jace McClellan, not to leave him out, but I think that it's almost like a triple addition by a single addition there. And then you're adding Rondale Moore and Darnell Mooney. And on top of that, I think the offensive scheme changing, because for as much credit sometimes as I gave Arthur Smith for his run design, and I think it you know, the 2022 season speaks for itself in that aspect. I did have plenty of nitpicks with the passing game. And there should be a lot of run after catch opportunities here. There should be a lot of receivers able to get schemed open. And with Kirk Cousins able to deliver the ball on time where it's supposed to be and in the right spot, because he's going to be such a significant upgrade pre-snap at knowing where the ball should go and when. I actually think they'll be able to utilize some of the matchup advantages that having unique players like Kyle Pitts and Drake London and Bijan Robinson affords you that they weren't able to last year. So I kind of look at one addition with Kirk Cousins having a net impact on the entire offense that could be much greater than we are even expecting at this point in time. So for that reason, they may have said, okay, we need to keep that boost in case something happens to our starting quarterback. And by bringing in a high, like a very talented high draft pick at the position, again, a lot of people are saying it won't impact this season. And let's hope it doesn't. Let's hope that Kirk Cousins stays healthy for all 17 games. But just in case he does go down, now all of a sudden, this season in which you were kind of thinking you would be all in, that doesn't just immediately go away because there's a significant drop off at the quarterback position. All of this assumes that they're right about Michael Penix, which, like, yes, that's the massive elephant in the room. They have to be right about Michael Penix. But I think that's just another element to their thinking and why I would push back slightly on the total pivot away from being in win now mode, just because they took a quarterback and then took a couple of players who need to develop. Every draft pick needs to develop to some degree.
Yeah. All draft picks are future focused to the, like, there's not really like, you know, I think it's something like 30% of draft picks play more than like 30% of the snaps in their rookie
season. That's a good stat.
Yeah. So it's something similar to that. So most draft picks are rotational players at best in their rookie season. So that is a good point.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And to clarify, like, I don't think they decided they're not going to be trying to win now, but just because they drafted Penix. It's more, if I look at the whole offseason now, I think it's even more maybe about the fact that they aren't really pushing the cap. Like, they
could
create like $40 million or more with some restructures to and not even like risky restructures. Like, I would say, like, guys like Jesse Bates, he's not going anywhere. Chris Lindstrom, he's not going anywhere. Like, you could restructure these guys and make $20-$40 million in cap space, but that could hurt your future window with Penix in 2026 if you're pushing all this money out.
Yes.
So I think that's more where I come to. They're trying to take a more level approach, like a balanced approach to, obviously they want to win this year. And I think the Kirk Cousins signing is the biggest thing they could have done to win this year, like, bar none. And I think The Athletic Football Show just did a pod. I don't know if it came out last week or this week, but basically they were going over the off seasons for every team. And they started with the playoff hopefuls, and the Falcons are a playoff hopeful now, which is nice.
Yeah.
And basically,
I listened to this. This was a good one.
Yes. Yeah. And basically I can't remember his name. It wasn't Robert Mays. It was his guest. But
yeah, Chicago radio host.
Yeah, yeah. And he basically said, like, I don't know if I'm buying or selling. I'm going to tell you what I think, and then you tell me if I'm buying or selling. And he was buying, but basically he was like, the Falcons have upgraded massively at quarterback, upgraded massively at head coach, and upgraded massively at offensive coordinator. So how can we not buy this? Like, these are the most important things you can possibly do, and they did all of them. And everyone's deciding now that because they took Michael Penix that, like, they've botched it or something. And he had his own issues, of course, with the Penix pick, and I know that Robert Mays did as well. But that's like, can that really be like overstated? Like if you've made a huge, this is all assumptions, of course. Like, obviously we have to assume Kirk Cousins is healthy and playing at a high level, that Zach Robinson is a good rookie offensive coordinator. I like what he said, though. It's like, if I'm picking from any tree, I'm picking from the McVay tree. It's had the most success of any coaching tree. So I agree there. And like Raheem, you know, ostensibly is a lot more experienced than Arthur Smith, should be able to bring in more veteran sort of leadership. And so like, if you've upgraded at these three ultra important spots, like how can you say the team can't get a lot better just by virtue of doing that? So I think that's an important thing to think about too, is that maybe the biggest moves other than Kirk Cousins were actually made off the field in terms of head coach, yes, coordinator, and the coaching staff. And I think they also strategically kept coaches that I think were really beneficial coaches. Like, they were able to keep the offensive line coach. They kept most of the secondary coaches intact.
Another aspect is, like, we were conditioned so much in the late years of Thomas Dimitroff to view the draft as the principal way that the team improved itself. And under Terry Fontenot, it's been free agency that the team has principally improved itself. And so that's where, again, I look at this as they just took all their Chuck E. Cheese tickets, and instead of buying something from the second shelf and the third shelf and four things from the third shelf, they were like, we're adding all of these up, and we're going to take 2,000 tickets, and we're going to get that gigantic ass teddy bear right there on the top shelf. Like, that's just kind of the way that I view this. And your salary cap point, I think, is extremely smart. But I also think that it's something we see from time to time when there is a coaching transition, mm-hmm, is that there's either like this mass exodus of players in that first off season, or there's a little bit of like, we're going to stand pat with the status quo that's in here and see what we've got for a year. And then we're going to make that decision in year two. And because this is a team, Rich McKay said it at the end of season press conference, they don't feel like the term reset or new direction is applicable to this group. They like the direction that this group is heading in. And so I kind of think that you're going to see next offseason a big retooling. And that's where you look at the cap table and you see guys like David Onyemata, Grady Jarrett, Kayla McGarry, even Jake Matthews, like players where that money becomes really real and a discussion to be had next offseason. So to your point, you may not want to kind of lock up or restructure some of these contracts now for immediate savings, but then future headaches, because next offseason you could kind of like, again, reposition this team for how you want it to be for your young quarterback, who's going to be an old quarterback, but whatever.
Yeah, young, old. I mean, he's not really old. He's like young, I guess, in the context of first round pick, or he's old.
It makes
in the context
me feel
of first
as hell that everybody's just like this 24-year-old.
Oh, he's too old.
Senior.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. But yeah, basically, like, and that was something I think we've already seen at you know, with the start to the offseason. Like, there are benefits to being an older, more experienced quarterback. He's not like an old quarterback in the sense that he had to sit for many years and then he caught fire late. Like, I know there's been a couple quarterbacks like that that have struggled in the NFL. But Penix has started his entire college career. And it's funny, if you look back to his Indiana days, which I remember writing up a mock draft with him in it when he was at Indiana, before he had the terrible injuries. And it was like, oh, this is a great dual threat quarterback. I love his running ability and all this. And now he just like barely runs because he's like, I don't want to get my body torn up anymore. But he can still do that. Like, he is a very talented runner. People forget, I think at his pro day, he ran in the 4.4s, and people were like, whoa, what? Like, yeah. I thought he was a pocket passer. No, like, he has been it's basically like, I think Penix is just a drastically better, he's just a drastically better prospect than Desmond Ridder. I think people need to, I think it's obvious, people need to understand. It's like, oh, Ridder was athletic and he couldn't run. Penix is athletic, but he knows how to run. That was Ritter's problem. Like, Ridder was athletic enough to be a dual threat quarterback. He just had no feel for running the football. Like, and some guys just are good natural ball carriers, and some guys are not. They don't have the vision. They don't have the feel for it. You could tell Ridder wanted to just sit back there and throw that ball, and they had to really coach him to run. And when he did run, he ran successfully sometimes. It was like, wow, he can actually scoot a bit. If, as long as he put the ball on his outside arm, you know, it'd be fine. But
but I mean, so many times you hear the coaches, right, say like, well, you still, to win in the NFL, you have to be able to play from within the pocket. Mm-hmm. And that is, I would so much rather have somebody who does have like 4.47 speed, but is much, his like plan A, B, and C is to play from within the pocket. And one of the weird things that maybe you can help me kind of like square these two things together is the, because I know that the advanced analytics do say that Michael Penix is a different type of quarterback when he is under pressure. However, one of the things that I really loved about him when watching him on film was his ability to maneuver inside of the pocket in the face of pressure. So that's something that I'm just really curious to see how that progresses and evolves. Probably, again, not throughout his rookie year, although when we lay eyes on him in training camp, like that's going to be something I'm really looking for, is just that pocket awareness, mobility, like, and it's going to be totally take it all with a bucket of salt because like they don't touch the quarterback in training camp. But those are just two opposite ends of the spectrum for like how you should look at a player. How on the one hand can you say, man, his pocket movement is at times just off the charts, the way he feels, resets his feet, keeps his eyes down the field, and doesn't just bail out of the pocket the way that you would expect somebody with that type of speed to. But then also, you know, it's the antsiness, the decisions when he does kind of actually get on the run because of pressure. Like that is a real thing as well. So I don't know. Do you have any insights into that?
Yeah, I'm not an expert quarterback scouter. What I kind of took away was that his pocket movement is excellent. Like he moves in the pocket super well. He can reset his feet and get the ball out super fast. So like that is a necessary component of surviving pressure. Like you have to have good pocket movement and you have to be able to get the ball out quick. And that's one thing I think he does amazingly well, which is he can rip the ball with very little wind up and he doesn't have to have his feet set perfectly to get that ball out. Now the ball will sail on him a bit when he doesn't get his feet set right.
It will.
But he can get that ball out of bounds like in a second, like if he needs it. So like that was something that Ridder struggled with a lot. He threw multiple picks trying to get the ball out of bounds and it just didn't get there. Penix can whip that thing out of bounds in a flash. He doesn't need more than just he can throw it straight with arm. He can be going to the ground Patrick Mahomes style and just chuck it out of bounds. So that is something that will help him avoid sacks. And that, to his credit, even though he didn't throw accurately under pressure well, he didn't take a lot of sacks because he just got rid of the ball. It's a weird thing in his profile because he does move in the pocket well. He does get the ball out quick and has enough arm strength to get it out of bounds. So he avoids sacks. But I don't know. I'd have to like sit down with like a quarterback scout and like really drill down. But to me, I wonder if it's, I think on a lot of plays, you can see him just dissect the coverage and get the ball out quick when he knows that there's pressure coming. The Texas game was a great example.
Points to that Texas game because that's like the CJ Stroud Georgia game, which maybe that's the one we should care about. Right. But yeah. But I almost, you know, I kind of want to find other examples other than that Texas game because there's like a red flag in the back of my mind that goes up when after the player's picked and you get like Mel Kiper or the next day when Dan Orlovsky is like, they're breaking down why they love the player. And I'm like, yeah, but all these clips are from the same game. But on
the
flip side,
the Oregon games were good.
Right. That's why I'm like, when somebody's getting their highlight reel shown and it's like against Oregon and then it's against Arizona State and then it's against Texas and then it's against, you know, UCLA. And I'm like, all right, cool. This guy was consistent throughout the year making big plays. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to see. So I know the Texas game was like off the charts.
Yeah, it was nuts. Absolutely crazy. And, you know, that was an example of a team that had tremendous pass rush, but weak secondary. And he knew they had a weak secondary. So he was totally comfortable just chucking that ball out there. And that worked really well. What went wrong against Michigan was Michigan has no holes in the defense. Like they have a great pass rush. And they have a great secondary. So like you can't get away with it as much against Michigan. And you know, Michigan's just defense was just better than Washington's offense. That's kind of the crux of it. Like Rome Odunze was still good, but I think the other receivers kind of maybe showed that they weren't maybe as good as some people thought when they got.
Well, and also Michigan's defensive coordinator is now the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. So it's like, that defense was not only loaded with my boy Mikey Sainer still, who I know you love as well.
Yeah,
And I've loved seeing everybody kind of come out and be like, he was amazing. My favorite pick in the draft of any of it. Like, it makes me feel good. Had a great breakdown of Penix's game against Texas though. Is Kurt Benkert? Mm-hmm. Go look on YouTube. And he's got a really nice, just kind of 32-minute little scouting breakdown of Penix in that game. And, you know, there's some good and bad, but he does a really good job with kind of that analysis.
Yeah, I've enjoyed Benkert's YouTube channel a lot. I'm glad that he's been taking friend of the show, Kurt Benkert. I'm glad that he's had his nice broadcasting career take off. Since, you know, I like to say that the, you know, Falcoholic Live was a launching point, but, you know, that would be a complete lie. So complete lie, because he was doing very well before that. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the one thing I think you could take away is that of the quarterbacks available at eight, I have no questions that I wanted. Like, I would have wanted Penix. I was not a big fan of JJ McCarthy pretty much ever. I just didn't really see the long term upside with him. I mean, I think JJ McCarthy is like the 15th best quarterback in the NFL. And I think that's kind of where he is. And that's fine. And that's worth a top 10 pick for sure. But I would rather, like, if you're going to have a guy sit, I know everyone's like, oh, well, you should have taken JJ because he's young. That's not the reason to take a quarterback in the top 10 is because he's younger. The reason is because he's got the upside that you can make that gamble worth it. Like, if you're going to gamble on a quarterback sitting for 2 years, the upside of that gamble should be that he could be a top 5 quarterback. And I think Penix has the arm talent, has the pocket mobility, has the dual threat ability. He has the leadership qualities as well. And I think we've already seen that at rookie minicamp. And that was never really a question about Penix. It's like, he's a 5-year starter. Everyone like raves about his leadership ability. So he's got that, you know, more than most young quarterbacks coming out. And that's not to say anything against McCarthy's leadership ability, might be fine, but you know, Penix has that upside of a potential top 5 NFL quarterback if he hits his ceiling and works out all of his issues.
Right.
That I don't think any of the other options, especially not Bo Nix, you know, no offense to Bo Nix. I don't have any problem with that.
Oh, my guy. You know, yeah. I've been a Bo Nix stan day one.
Yes, but Bo Nix does not have top, you know, 15 quarterback upside in the NFL. He could be, I don't think there's any universe where Bo Nix like busts, but I also don't think there's any universe where he like
hits. If Bo Nix turns out to be Baker Mayfield, that will be a huge win for Bo Nix.
That's a good comp for him. Yeah.
Like that's basically what I think. But I think to your point, like JJ McCarthy could be Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, like that type of player as well. And if you're looking at Michael Penix, I like, it was the first comp that came to mind when they made the pick. I was like, oh, they think he could be Matthew Stafford, you know? And like, that's
no kidding. Yeah. I mean,
that's where they just came from in LA. They saw that you talk about the ability to reset quickly, the ability to get the ball out from like literally any arm position with anybody in their face because of just his flick, his arm talent. Like, I know, I feel like arm talent is such an overused word right now, just when it comes to draft
talk.
Hot
topic, yeah.
Yeah, but I do think, I think Robert Mays actually said it best, where it's like, you've got arm strength, which is just the pure horsepower behind the throw. But when it comes to arm talent, it factors in all of the little things like the arm slots, the ability to layer the ball over, to put touch on it, to kind of throw it either low or high or inside or outside, like just all the nuances of actually throwing the ball. That is the stuff. And I mean, we saw it on like Daniel Flick. I know you just had him on the show when he was sharing stuff from rookie minicamp. I was like, man, like, the ball just comes out of his arm.
Dan Marino style. The receivers are just the hell?
Like, I used to stand behind the end zone to watch Matt Ryan warm up when he was throwing to Mohamed Sanu and Julio and everything. And my biggest nightmare was like, oh, it's going to go through Mohamed Sanu's hands and just hit me in the face. And I'm not going to have time to react to this. I'm not even going to stand behind the back of the end zone when Michael Penix is warming up, because
I don't know if you listen. Like Daniel Flick actually said that the coaches came over and ushered the media out of the strike zone. Like, they like ushered them out. Like, Daniel was like, they made us move because they were afraid we were going to hit with the ball.
It's a health and safety hazard.
I don't remember the last time they did that. Yeah. So, I mean, and you're absolutely right. Like, he has a special arm, and I think there's no question about it. That's why he was so valued by many NFL teams, not just the Falcons. Because if you've got that high end arm talent, you know, and that's, I would say Michael Penix is a drastically better prospect than like Josh Allen was. Now Josh Allen is not the norm. Like, a guy that did not play well in college.
I thought he was going to be a bust.
Yes. He had bust in every, like, if you look at the history of the position and how guys typically turn out, there was nothing to say that Josh Allen was going to be the exception.
You
sometimes
love the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
You love the Senior Bowl, and watching him at the Senior Bowl, he was missing, like, just straight up missing the net. Yeah. Like yes. the three net drill that should be like easy, just throwing strikes in the strike zone for a quarterback. Yeah, it wasn't a great sign that Desmond Ridder was also kind of missing that in training camp last year. But he wasn't even missing like the small squares in the net. He was missing the net just writ large. And I was like, yes. I get that people think that when you look at him, you see the like 6'6", 250, like you see Carson Wentz like type of mobility and size and the arm strength and everything. But this guy can't even literally hit the broad side of the barn. So like, what are we doing here? And it's worked out, you know, it's worked out for Buffalo.
It has. So it did.
Good on them.
They hit. Yes. It's just, I don't think like going that route for quarterbacks typically does work. Now I'm happy for Buffalo. I live up in Syracuse. Bills Mafias is really fun to hang out with. And they don't generally harass me cause I'm not in the AFC with the Falcons. So they're generally pretty nice. They do get mad if you eat ranch with your wings though. It's blue cheese only up here. FYI, if you ever come up.
Dude,
to
I went
to New
a
York.
Buffalo bar down here in Atlanta for that Bills Chiefs game. That was one of the most insane experiences that I will never forget in my life.
They are a passionate group. I've
amazing clothes,
like
the best dressed group of sports fans I've ever seen. Yeah. The throwback jackets, the powder, like I don't what kind of blue do they call that?
I don't even remember. I think I always
it's
think
not
of it
powder,
like,
but it's like electric mixed with powder mixed with like the royal
I'd say
like
true blue or something.
Bills blue, Oh my God, the jackets on those fans. And then of course it was wild that like the boos were never louder than when they showed Taylor Swift on the screen. Like Patrick Mahomes was literally in the middle of ripping their hearts out.
Yep.
And they were just like,
it's about
that's okay. And then they'd show Taylor Swift and it was like, get her out of here. It was wild.
That's hilarious. Yeah. It's a fun group. But yeah, I mean, I Penix is a good quarterback to bet on because I think his issues are fixable. Like one of the things with Ridder that was always a red flag was that his mechanics were really good and he still had accuracy problems. And it's like, if your mechanics are good, there's not much to fix. Yes, there's not much to fix then. Like if your mechanics are good and you're still inaccurate, like I don't know what we could do for you. With Penix, his mechanics, he has the capability to use good mechanics. You see it a lot, but under pressure, he tends to just rip it, and that's when the ball sails. So if you could just get him to set his feet right when he's under pressure, that should be fixable. So that's why I think teams were willing to bet on him getting better, because there's a clear, easy thing. Easy, right? But, like, there is, like, I can see the path where you can fix a couple things, tighten up the mechanics, you know, work on the pressure stuff, work on the pre-snap reads, you know. And I also wonder if it's, like, getting up against these better defenses where they were rotating safeties more and stuff like that. If he saw something pre-snap and then when he looked back under pressure, he saw the safety rotate and he's like, okay, I can't trust it anymore. I just gotta, you know, I gotta get rid of the ball. You know, that's stuff you could work on. You can advance your processing. And in college, you know, you get a lot less coverage disguising in college than you do in the NFL. The NFL, it's like a constant thing. You've got safeties rotating, you got guys dropping. It's a nightmare for young quarterbacks to go from college to the NFL because it's like, what the hell's going on back there?
And like, offenses honestly trust their quarterback less at the college level. Yes. A lot of times it's just, hey, like half field reads, hey, we're going here. Yeah. It's the Kyle Shanahan type of you got one or two and go. Like there's just a point and shoot element. But I do think, and this is where Kurt Benkert's like video breakdown was really enlightening. There were moments where it's like, the pressure forced his eyes to move off of where I think he wanted to go. But once he evaded that pressure, his eyes snapped right back and he trusted that his receiver was going to be there. And he put it right on the right spot at the right time, even though his timing got disrupted and thrown off a little bit. And I know we're kind of bumping up against the clock here, Kevin. The one element of Penix is like the selection that I think we're weirdly glossing over that is my main concern is now the injury history, because we are talking about like, all right, just the development, just this or that. But like, yeah, I obviously never, ever, ever root for anybody to get hurt. But you, now that he is the Falcons and now that he belongs to Atlanta, you look at the shoulder injuries, the ACLs, like, with a little bit of a different lens, and that stuff can't be coached out. Now I've talked to people who understand his medical situation a little bit more, and there aren't any of the the long-term degenerative concerns, like maybe there was with Todd Gurley or anything like that. So these do seem to be just like one-time injuries that you hope, and the way modern medicine is, like sometimes guys come back even stronger than those injuries. And he himself said, you know, I think everybody saw that Player Tribune piece where it was like writing letters to all the teams saying like, I'm glad that those injuries happened because now I've proven to myself that I can come back from them. And that is a huge mental hurdle. One that I think Kyle Pitts has struggled with a little bit over the last year. Like that is a real thing. So maybe there's a silver lining to that, but in terms of just what are the downsides to this pick, that's probably number one in my book of, all right, let's just hope that those don't become a thing that define his career.
Yeah. That's the big thing. And, you know, even for guys that don't have injury history, injuries are always something that you have to be afraid of. And we've seen it. Guys completely clean bill of health, get to the NFL, two straight seasoning injuries, and they're out of the league. You know, it's like...
Christian McCaffrey was healthy until he wasn't. And then it's...
Exactly. Yep. So, you know, that's obviously a concern. I think my understanding is similar to yours, that there's not a long-term concern with Penix. And I think teams feel really good that he got through two seasons completely healthy at Washington. And I think also he's changed his game, right? Like, he was a... Mm-hmm. He was like bordering on a run first quarterback with Indiana. And I think he understands like his body can't handle that level of punishment. He's just not built for that. He's built really well, but it's like that type of punishment. It's just not a path to a long-term success for, unless you're Cam Newton, right? Where you just are a literal human tank and you could just go and just do it. You can't get away with that forever. And I think the best thing that happened to him for his long-term career was moving to be a pocket passer, because he takes so few hits. He's really good at avoiding sacks. So he doesn't have to take the beating anymore. And you know, yes, that does limit his ability to be a dual threat, but I think that's what you want. You don't really want to rely on that, right? We've seen this with even Lamar. Like, I think Lamar gets a bad rap for his injuries, but like Lamar, like he's such a special runner that you're so tempted to use him as a runner all the time. And like, I think that's led to the injuries, where if he just sat back in the pocket, probably wouldn't be getting hurt as much. But
RG3 is the name that came to my mind immediately. It's like he made the adjustment RG3 couldn't make. And he did it in college, where it's a little bit easier to do it because, again, the bullets that are flying aren't as fast as they are at the NFL level. But you're hoping, and maybe that's an interesting comp. I need to go back and watch some RG3 tape. Yeah. But like, I haven't actually thought about that. I think RG3 is a little bit faster and more of a dynamic runner than Penix was, but I may dig into that a little bit more.
No, that's an interesting topic, but I think you look at Penix and what he did over the last 2 years in college, and that gives you...
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A good feel for what he can become in the NFL, because you've seen him make the transition from dual threat, maybe even run first quarterback, to pocket passer, and not only do that transition, do it really well the first year, and then be basically in the running for the Heisman Trophy and be in the college football playoff the second year. This is huge steps that he's making, like quickly. And he's getting, you know, obviously he's getting NFL caliber coaching from Kalen DeBoer at Washington, obviously, you know, but he's hopefully going to get that in Atlanta, right? And I think if you're making the case for why this pick could be a home run, right, it's that he's able to stay healthy, he's able to fix the couple of holes in his game that appear to be fixable, and that he does start in 2026. Like, he's ready to go, and he gets on the field quickly, and then that gives the Falcons 2 years of his relatively cheap deal. Obviously, 2026 will be offset by, like, Cousins' dead money, probably, for the most part, but you will still get a relatively cheap 2027. And then, you know, depending on the fifth-year option extension, whatever, you will still get, I think, a good window in 2026, 2027 of having a relatively cheap quarterback contract, not top of the market, where you might, maybe if it all works out, get top of the market quarterback play without paying top of the market quarterback price. So that's why I think that 26, 27 window could be what they're really hoping. Like, this is where we're competing for a Super Bowl. And then, you know, you can go into the Kansas City sort of idea where you're paying the quarterback, but you still have the quarterback's so good that you can, like, it doesn't matter that your roster is not as great because you could, the quarterback's covering up problems. Yeah. And that's sort of the long-term road. But, you know, I think if folks are looking for the way this pick can turn into a home run, that would be the pathway. And it's a pathway, and it's a pathway you don't have. If you don't take Penix, you don't have that ultimate upside that the Penix, like, if they took Laiatu Latu, I think everyone would be happy. We'd have, hopefully, a good pass rusher. But it doesn't potentially answer the quarterback problem in the future. And I think Raheem Morris, you know, we know now that his pitch back in 2021 to be the full-time head coach revolved around, we need to get Matt Ryan's successor right now. And he was right. And now when he got the job this time, he was like, we're getting Kirk Cousins' successor right now. Like, we're not waiting. We're not going to let this fall apart. So, you know, it's a bold strategy. I think if you have problems with it, I sympathize. I think if you are all in on it, I think you have reason to be optimistic. It's going to be fascinating one way or the other, and it won't be boring. And that's really a key thing for me, is that this team, people were getting apathetic with how this team was the last couple of years. So I'm just ready for this team not to be boring. And I think they've accomplished that at the very least. So
they're definitely not going to be boring with Raheem Morris as head coach. So no, it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, like, that's a great way to maybe end this, because I do think that, again, these two decisions did not happen in conjunction with each other, or even necessarily in collaboration with one another, because you had to take care of the quarterback position in free agency. You just couldn't let that continue to linger into the draft period, knowing how many teams needed a quarterback and were eyeing the draft. So they took care of that in free agency, and they did it with the biggest possible swing, knowing that if they didn't do it later on, that they had to get that right. And so that was the decision for Kirk. And then I think, again, this was more about, for all the reasons we laid out, that they identified a player who, for one reason or another, they felt was maybe going to slip, but could have the future to be a defining NFL quarterback, and you would want him on your franchise. And so that is just kind of, as we, like, wrap this thing up, I think that that's the way that you can choose to look at it, is, yes, it may take a pass rusher off the field for 2024. It may take, I would have loved Rome Odunze on this offense. But yeah, I kind of think, we talk about opportunity cost, like, how much does that matter then if your quarterback goes down? How much does that matter if you don't have something viable and stable at the game's most important position? And if this was 2021 and this was Matt Ryan, and we all knew that he was in his sunset era, to bring Taylor Swift back into the fold, that if they had decided to make that pick at four and maybe not gone Justin Fields, I don't know, but just, let's say that they decided to take the quarterback of the future there, I think people would have a little bit of an easier time stomaching that, because Matt Ryan was firmly entrenched and was already in place, and everybody kind of knew that the chapter was coming to a close. I do really think it's just the bang bang of, like, we're shelling out all this money for Kirk Cousins, and then we're also going to go take care of the succession plan in the draft, that had a lot of people's heads reeling. Because, and myself included, I just assumed that they had taken care of quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. And because Taylor Heinicke was still on the roster, that they were pretty much done addressing that position, and they weren't. And I, again, I think it all really hinges upon Michael Penix working out. Obviously, if he doesn't, yeah, I would be fearful for Terry Fondo and Raheem Morris's long-term tenure with the organization, but that is the gamble they've decided to make. And I think I've just tried to do the best job I can to explain maybe why that reasoning was where they ultimately landed.
Yeah, no, I think that is a good way to look at it. And, you know, I'm looking real quick to see, you know, yes. Interestingly enough, the Matt Ryan's cap hit in 2021 is more than Kirk Cousins' cap hit right now in 2024. Now, obviously, it's a little bit of a different situation because the Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins and all
and
this
the cap
stuff.
So hit jumps a lot next year.
Yeah,
so
it
it's
does.
Really that's why I think you're going to see, you know, some of these familiar long-term Falcons kind of maybe be going into their last ride unless they can make some magic happen.
Yeah.
It's really next year. Like I saw, you probably saw as well that what was it, ML Football on Twitter share out the like, this is the amount of cash the Falcons have invested in the quarterback position this year. And it was like $80 million or something. And it was Kirk Cousins, like $60 million, Michael Penix, like $14 million. And Taylor Heineke, like five. That is so misleading.
Yes.
Because I get why the wording was what it was, because sure, if you want to say like cash invested, it's because of that signing bonus, which you do pay the $50 million like all up front, but then you can extrapolate that out over the course of the lifetime of the contract. So technically that's not wrong. It is misleading. The cap hit this year is manageable. The cap hit next year gets a little bit dicier, but then again, in year three, they can save $10 million against the cap if they do decide to move on from Kirk Cousins. So it's not the worst contract I've ever seen.
It's not. No. And like you said, like I if they do want to go part ways in 2026, you know, if you make it a post June 1st thing, you could save like $40 million. Like you could save a lot.
You could save even
you have
more.
To split it over 2 years. But I mean, I think they'll probably end up doing that. So,
and as people will tell you, the cap is always going up, Kevin.
The cap is always going up. It is. I mean, it went up a ridiculous amount this year. So who knows, right? It's better
it's like
to
the
be
housing market. It's too big to fail.
It's too big to fail. Oh no, let's not go down that road. But yes, well, thank you for the extra time today. I know we were trying to keep this at 30 minutes, but this is clearly a topic that we're both passionate about. So
dude, I love this conversation. Yeah. This was great. Yeah.
I told you I was going to get you fired up. I know you came in, you're like, all right, I'm a little low energy. It's like, nope, that we got past that real quick. But guys, he's Will McFadden at Will McFadden on the Twitters, host of Believe in Falcons, our sister show over on the Believe Network. Will, anything else you want to let the people know about before we sign off today?
Just had a Bryce Lewis, who is the host of Believe in Hawks. We actually didn't talk. We recorded before the Hawks got the number one pick, so poor timing on my end. We just had a show go up Monday where we went week by week and predicted what the Falcons' schedule would look like this season, picked primetime games, tried to guess, you know, exactly the order in which everything would play out. I guarantee it's going to be wrong, but it was a fun exercise and revealed that I do not want that job at all. Man, that's a hard job to create the NFL schedule.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want a little pre-schedule release content, I know they're kind of trickling out, you know, Schefter tweeting out some of the bigger games. I don't know if the Falcons will be any of them, but... go check that out. And then Wednesday night, I'm checking in with Ovi, but I'm hoping that Ovi and I will be able to do a quick kind of take schedule release podcast Wednesday night after the whole thing is known. But yeah, that's what I've got. And then mailbag Thursdays on the Falcoholic. Don't know if one will come this week, just with all the schedule release news. I may chip in on some schedule release content, but yeah, that's where you can find me.
Absolutely. Yep. Definitely check that out, guys. And we'll be having, of course, our... we always have a show on Wednesday night on Falcoholic Live, but it will happen to coincide hopefully with the schedule release timing.
It's so great timing on your part.
Yes,
dude.
I know. You just nailed it this year. Last year, I think we were like one day early. It was terrible, but this year it's hopefully going to come at the same time. So we'll be talking about that on Wednesday night on Falcoholic Live. If you, I guess this may or may not come out before that show, so this may not help you get there, but if you haven't then watched that show yet, you can go back and watch that. But guys, thank you so much for joining us here on the Dirty Birds of Brews podcast. Please like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Leave that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Check out the Patreon, check out the channel memberships. And like I said, we'll be going on Wednesday for the schedule release. And then we'll have lots more good stuff coming to you over the coming weeks as we get into the slow season here. But we're not slowing down just yet. You know, we'll get there eventually. But right now we got stuff to talk about. So we're full steam ahead. But thank you guys so much. I'm Kevin. I have Falcon. Kevin, thanks again to Will McFadden for coming on. We'll see you guys next time. Have a great day, folks.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.